Good morning. Good morning, Mary Lou. It's Betty.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm going along.
That's good. Did you get any rain? I saw that some of Texas was getting some rain yesterday or the day before.
So freakish. We did not even get anything in our rain gauge, and about 2 or 3 miles away from us, no, about 5 miles away from us, they got 2 or 3 inches. It was just a strip of rain
weird.
That came through. Isn't it, though? It's so odd. Nobody could figure it out. I went to a meeting last night. Everybody just said, we can't believe it. And I drove through places, which was a rural area, and it was just everywhere.
Wow.
But I'm thankful for them, you know.
Yes, yes. It's a shame, though, that it bypassed. I thought of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, because you know how dry we are.
Someone else like to say good morning to Mary Lou and I?
Good morning. This is Onita.
Hi, Onita. How are you?
I'm getting there another week, and we're winding down, so.
Anyone else like to say hi?
Good morning. Good morning, Betty. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Monty here.
Good morning, Monty. How are you?
Absolutely great.
Wonderful.
And Char.
Good morning, Char.
By myself this morning, but I've got to go on mute. I'm running my wheatgrass, so I'm going to stick you on mute for a few seconds here.
Okie doke. Well, I'd just like to start the morning saying good morning to everybody, and hope you're beginning with a wonderful day, and kind of give a reason of why we're here. The purpose of this call is to give support, accountability, and education for creating and maintaining habits for a healthy lifestyle. So, does anybody have anything to talk about as far as how things are going on the Vital Balance?
Well, I'll go ahead and say something. I don't know what happened to me the last 2 days. I've been so hungry. And so I'm missing something I'm not getting enough of. But this is the first time it's happened. Any suggestions?
And how's your water consumption, Mary Lou?
You know, it's good because I have 2 water, the new one and the other one, and I keep filling them up, you know, in the kitchen. And I keep thinking, gosh, I'm getting in a lot of water. And so... That was my first thing I started checking.
Yeah. I don't know. Anybody with any suggestions?
What are y'all doing after you've been on it a month? See, I finished my first container.
I'm just continuing on, and I haven't hit that point yet. I'm not losing a lot of weight with mine at this point either, but maybe somebody else, maybe Monty would have some suggestions since he's been on it such a long time.
Yeah, I don't, I always when I take my shake, I only take a little water, and I'm not running into the hunger that we just talked about. So I have no suggestion.
I kind of wondered, Monty, if I should maybe also have part of a shake another part of the day or something when I get this hunger, you know, in between when it's not really kind of time for a meal.
There is some times maybe that what I'll do is like in the evening, I might take a one scoop of the Vital Balance with about 8 ounces of water, but I don't see why that would hurt at all.
I don't either, Monty.
Okay, I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna maybe try that because, you know, just some days I guess your body wants more food than other days, and so Mary Lou,
one of the things I can say and I feel about hunger, and anybody, you know, can chime in here, and that is I think if you feel it, of course, we've always heard immediately when you feel like you're hungry, if you don't want to eat something, just drink a glass or two of water. Then my philosophy is if you feel hungry, then put something in your mouth. Don't let it, acerbate itself. In other words, keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. What possibly needs to be is immediately when you get that urge or craving or whatever, and that's to throw a few nuts or something into your mouth. And I don't know, maybe somebody else has got another idea.
Mary Lou, on the times when you're hungry, are you less busy than you have been?
Not too much.
Oh, it could be that. Because I know there you were really busy and...
I am still so that way and just underdo it. And even this lady was here helping me yesterday with things. And she said, I said, what is happening? And she said, I've never seen you want to eat like this. And I mean, before lunchtime. And I mean, I knew it was happening, but I thought, what is wrong with me?
Well, yeah, like the vital balance is not a lot of calories.
Yeah.
So it may not be holding you for 4 hours.
Yeah, it's only 125 calories.
Yeah.
Right. I imagine when I'm just real busy that it's not maybe holding, and that's why I'm wanting something again, you know.
Well, but I remember Oz saying one time that when you experience true hunger, think of it as fat burning.
Well, that's odd.
So, you know, you can either work with it or feed it.
You know, when I first lost weight, way back when, I remember that being my only trigger for when I really needed food was when I was really hungry. And hearing you guys say, you know, right, it's only 125 calories, but how long can you expect that to last without something coming up? Well, your body's burning it in the meantime and working off of, you know, whatever is there. And then when you are hungry, I've done the same thing when I've gotten hungry, is just do a half of a enough to satisfy me, because I don't want to take time to fix something, and maybe the veggies in the refrigerator don't sound like what I want right then, and so I'll just decide to take a one scoop in some water, and for convenience and for knowing that it's something good for my body. So I see absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. But then again, you know, you can have the veggies and they're not going to add up to anything, to amount to anything, and decide that that's what your body needs. It needs something to work on. And I'm not sure that sometimes it isn't the act of chewing also. And I don't know whether somebody said that while I was out, but you couldn't hear. But, you know, that's just another factor, is the natural chewing that we have become accustomed to when we are feeling hungry. So...
Didn't we talk about that with Nancy too, as far as you know, having some veggies prepared in the refrigerator or in a bag or wherever you are, to have them close by to nibble on whenever those things strike, other than, you know, just going back and having more vital balance, which I can't see any problem with either, but also something else to just have available.
Yeah, I just listened to some more of a new one that I received from Furman, that I ordered a couple of a set of his CDs, and then one of the DVDs, and I put the DVD in, and I only heard about probably 20 minutes of it. Until something happened and I ended up turning it off, but it was enough to make me just inspire me to just make better choices when I'm hungry. It's not about weight loss for me, as you guys know, but it is about making the better choices for what goes in my body and to continually have a better balance. And of course, then I turn around and I buzz it on Denny, and he goes, "You're always saying this stuff to me." And I says, "Well, I only say it to you because it's been brought to my attention because I listened to another DVD and I realized that, you know, I can improve. Well, you can too because I'm the one fixing your food." So, you know, it just goes roundabout. And he gets tired of hearing my voice. I wish he'd listened to his voice and he would be on me. But it was so easy. And so stick those back in, you guys that have got, especially the ones on Furman, because he emphasized so clearly the balance that we miss so much in our body are the greens. And also, you know, he emphasizes the raw too, and he emphasizes whole vegetables and all of that instead of some of the other things that we could reach for that aren't going to give us the nutrients that we need. And I have not been really good lately on the balance of the greens and the most, you know, important ones to our body. I've taken in too many starches. I know that. And I'm going, you know, I just need to get this back in balance. It's not about anything other than a better level of health for my body to operate on. And I do see the difference when I do it. So, you know, we're always working towards doing better, I think. There's no perfection in this at all. But the awareness, and then as we see it, we set the example, and we're more excited about putting it out to other people.
Char, this might be controversy, but I'm going to bring it up anyhow. Doesn't fat create satiety in our diet?
Yes, and he is very good about explaining that. And so what he did and what I did last night, I was doing a slaw recipe. The way he gets the fat is the nuts, and the fat is done in the dressing. He doesn't just sprinkle nuts on it. He throws it in. So instead of putting olive oil in my dressing, which the recipe calls for, I put 2 tablespoons of almond butter in, raw almond butter. And I go, wow. And I said to Denny, how do you like the salad? And it was like 5 minutes to make. In fact, I'll just give it to you, Betty, if you want me to really, really quick.
That would be wonderful.
It was a bag of broccoli slaw that you buy in the store, 12-ounce package, and 1/4 cup of sliced almonds. Gee, I even forgot to put those in. And then you took 1/2 cup of dried cranberries. Okay, and then to that you added 3 tablespoons, this is your dressing now. It called for 3 tablespoons of olive oil. I substituted that with 3 tablespoons of almond butter. And then 3 tablespoons of rice vinegar. Again, 3 tablespoons of agave nectar or honey, and I did go ahead and do that. 3 tablespoons of Greek yogurt, which was the alternative yogurt, of course, that I used. 1 1/2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard. 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and I used the real salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. And I have the little cup on the magic bullet, and I threw it in that. I spun it for about 30 seconds. And didn't use all of it on the salad. I never put the amount of dressing on that they call for because I think it's overkill. But I put that on and I didn't let it set for, it says, oh, in here, to let it set for 30 minutes or up to 4 hours. I did not do that. I served it immediately and it was to die for. And he had just said this in one of his dressing recipes because he always stands, this particular DVD, he was standing in a Whole Foods store giving a demo. And that's all I've seen so far on it. So anyway, he stood right there and he said, okay, here's what I would do for the dressing for this salad. And he talks about how important how you cut the different vegetables. I learned so many things in like 20 minutes, it wasn't even funny. Never thought of taking a whole zucchini and steaming it for just a few, 2 or 3 minutes, just until it's barely, you know, prickable, and then slicing it up for your salad and putting it on the top of your salad. Your greens that have been cut very, very fine. He doesn't even take the band off of the vegetable, off the leafy vegetables when he buys it. He took it right from the market, stuck the tops in water, I mean, he wants it as simplistic for people and as fast for them to do as possible. And he stands there and he just starts stripping off the ends of the leaves that are still bunched together. He says, I did wash this, of course. And he starts stripping it off in fine, and he tells you how that the, and I can't remember the name of the grouping of nutrients that are released when it's cut very, very, very fine. And I already learned that about mincing onion. You mince it as fine as you possibly can to release the strongest nutrients in that particular food. And it's different with different foods. So, but it's still simplistic. There's basic principles that apply to food groups. And I go, wow, this is really cool. I can get so much more out of my food by doing these few little things that are simple and take me less time. So I was pretty thrilled about that. But anyway, that was my conversion of a simple recipe that didn't take me more than 10 minutes to put the whole thing together. Serves 4 to 6 people, it says. So anyway.
That probably goes along with extra chewing.
And then he always says, chew more than you would normally chew because you've got the live enzyme. Well, he doesn't say live enzymes. Some of this I have to put into my own words, because, but he sets the example up and tells you what is taking place at the same time. So for me, it's total awareness in how I handle my food and the quick clips. And to let somebody see something like this when they're just starting and they go, wow, I mean, that's the fastest salad I've ever seen made, you know, and here I can get so much more out of it. They're drawn in. They want to do it because he's on the positive side, not on the side telling you what not to include in your diet, but what to include in your diet. So I'm really big on his materials that he's putting out now. He's become so, more visible. Because of Oz using him as the only doctor he would send people to, when he talks about it, you know, all these other ones that he has on his show are off doing diets, and Furman is off just teaching a healthy lifestyle. So anyway, anybody that wants to look at his stuff, go into his website, and the easiest book is Eat to Live, as I've mentioned several times, and you can pick that up used. It's been out for a long time, but if you get one that's dated, the latest one is the 2012 and 2012, and it's got a lot more testimonies in it than some of the earlier ones that were in 2007. So that's just the main difference, probably the only difference with the update of people's effects. And so he's gone on for over 20 years perfecting the way that he puts it out. And it's not telling you a different story. It's just giving you a few more details about how to work with your food and get it down to a really slick little science where we're utilizing as much as we possibly can out of it. End of story.
So maybe the answer to the hunger side that people are having, could it be that when they feel hunger that they might put something in their mouth that has a high content of fat, like I believe in the nuts, it's macadamia nuts have a real high content of fat.
Yeah, he would say have a little bit of salad. Have a little bit of salad and use that in your dressing. He never, he hardly ever uses nuts without the greens because they enhance each other. And when you separate them, they don't have that synergistic effect. And so he always puts the nuts into the dressings to enhance the nutrients in the dress, in the salad. And that's another reason he puts the two together. He says you have a synergistic effect when you do this, and so you want the highest level. So the more your body is satisfied with the nutrients it needs, the less hunger you're going to have. So that's another real basic reason for putting the two together instead of eating a few by, you know, just a few in your hand. Now, the two that I do put together for my bones is eat a few. If I want to snack on something, I'll eat like Brazil nuts with 4 prunes. Put a prune and a Brazil nut in my mouth at the same time and chew those and really chew it until it's saliva. I'll do that maybe once or twice a week. I do that. Just on occasion when I, again, don't want to take time to really eat something, but I want a little bit of something because, it has an effect on a particular area of my body, and I pick that. up from him also, so, and I can't tell you where it was, but anyway, I've gone through so much of his materials, and he is so loaded with information, as I see, Michael Greger, if you get on his newsletter that comes once a day and watch a 2-minute video. But his is not all in feeding your body, it's talking about events and latest research a lot too, so it's a little bit quite different than from Furman's, but Furman really specializes in just talking how to really, really feed your body.
Char, can we go over the dressing just quickly one more time?
Surely. Okay, instead of the olive oil, I use 3 tablespoons of almond butter, and I prefer that. I don't do good with peanut butter. I love the taste of it. Would love to put it down, but my stomach, my digestive system tells me it's not as easily digested, which I already knew that too. 3 tablespoons of rice vinegar, 3 of agave or honey, 3 Greek yogurt, it calls for, mine's plant-based, of course, and 1.5 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. Oh, and I did, on the salad, I didn't say this, the 1/4 cup of sliced almonds and the 12-ounce package of broccoli and 1/2 cup of dried cranberries. The other thing that's mandatory in there is very finely minced red onion. And he uses red more often than not and always in the salad because that's one of his top foods. If you look at G-bombs, G for greens, B for beans, O for onions, M for mushrooms, the second B is for berries, and the S is for seeds and nuts at the very end. So those are the categories of food that have the highest nutritional value, aside from the greens that he has at the very top of his list. And the 3 at the top of the list are kale, if I can remember. Kale, I think it's kale, watercress, and hey, if anybody wants to grow watercress, I Googled it late last night and pulled up an article on homegrown watercress from the stems of the plants from the store. And all you do is stick them in water and it gives you, I mean, I could even send it down if anybody would, in a pot on your back porch or wherever if you don't have any room to have a garden. And you can have a prolific amount of watercress, I think from March through the almost into the middle of the winter.
So it grows in water the whole time?
Well, no, you put it in water and you let it start. It's already got, mine already had roots sticking out of it when I was eating it from the store.
And so you put it in the ground then? Okay.
And then after you've done it till the roots develop a little more, then you just take and make a hole. You have good drainage in the pot, but you leave it down enough from the top that you've got, it has to be wet. It grows in running water is what it grows in. But most of us don't have running water. Most of you don't have running water. We do, but it would mean cultivating it on the bank of the creek down there. Well, that's not real convenient right now. So just a pot. They used a plastic, it looked like a galvanized pail, but they said it was just a plastic pail. And they punched holes in the bottom of it so it had really good drainage. It doesn't live in stagnant water. And you keep it wet every day. That's the one thing that's mandatory. It's got to be wet, soaking wet every day. And that's it. You punch holes in it. They said the best ground soil to do would be 50% compost and 50% organic soil. And it needs a lot of nutrients because it contains one of the highest nutrients of any plant.
And you don't need a real big container either because they don't get real big, right?
No, they don't get real big. They get bushy, and as they start to get really bushy off that one stalk, then you just start harvesting, pitching them off, and they'll keep regrowing. So they the same stalk keeps sending out sprouts. You got to leave a few leaves on it when you're, cutting them, pinching them off. But I go, this is a no-brainer. So all I've got to do is go get my pot now or my pan. I was going to use metal because I like galvanized, but they said no, use plastic. So I need to find a few old containers at Salvation Army or Goodwill and just start punching holes in the bottom of them. and letting them drain. You can set a saucer underneath them or whatever. And they're very attractive. It's a very attractive foliage. So they don't have to have a lot of just light. They don't have to be in direct sunlight, especially not when you're starting them. Put them in a shady spot. But you know, the atmosphere that they would have if they were growing on the bank of a creek.
Whoever has arrived.
That would be a simple one and a very high nutrient one, and something that is very, you know, I love just picking the stuff and putting it in the salad instantly. The quicker we eat it after it's harvested, the better it is for us, and the more nutrients we're getting out of it, the fresher it is. So,
yeah, that would be great if you could get us the information. That sounds like a wonderful thing to do.
It's a few pages long because she has got illustrations of every step and the steps that when she was talking about letting some of it go to seed and then harvesting the seed. She says, I'm sorry, don't have a picture of that. It's coming later. I mean, she wants every detail down that anybody that's never grown anything can go ahead and make this work for them. Because she says it is one of the easiest plants you could possibly ever grow.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, don't have to have a green thumb or anything else or have any knowledge.
Just lots of water.
Just lots of water on it. In fact, I know when I bought mine at the store and paid $10 for about a gallon pot, that didn't survive because it didn't get enough moisture that year. We were gone a lot. There was water standing on top of the pot. I drained it off to take it home because there was so much water on it. And I thought, wow. And that's the way they kept it growing. So you can't overwater it, in other words.
Yes.
And fresh water every day. That was the other thing.
And it sounds like it's better to put it in a pot rather than the ground.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you wouldn't keep the ground that wet.
Right.
I mean, it'd be hard to put it. It would be hard to keep it unless you've got it planted in a creek area where it's kind of an eddy off the creek because you don't want it flowing to wash it away.
Yeah.
Like our creek flows so fast, it would, you know, wash the dirt away from it. And so we'd have to have, I mean, I can go down there and make a little eddy out, and someday I will. But right now, the idea of the pot and all the roots that are coming out of these stems is just absolutely amazing. I just laid one flat in the dish. They were standing them all up, so that was the other thing I learned. And the roots come out of each of the joints on the stem. And so I laid it down in the dish, and, man, those roots are just like hair on a cat's or dog's back. I mean, they're just thick. And I thought, this is a no-brainer. These would have to grow. And it's just the amount of moisture.
So potting soil, did you say, and have organic?
Yeah, they said compost. So and you can do it in straight compost that's well rotted. Well, I don't have well rotted because they throw it all over my garden. Danny doesn't like to put it in a bin. He'd much rather just scatter it all over the field. And I said, because it's easier for him. He doesn't have to turn it and all that. So I will just use potting compost. From the bags, organic compost, or some of that stuff, I was told, doesn't even need to have organic soil. You're going to have an organic plant as long as it doesn't have a bunch of chemicals in it that can be just, you know, just, I think I can grow some of my stuff just in peat moss, quite frankly, which doesn't have nutrient value. Don't ask me how it develops in the plant, but the plant grows. I'm going to try some just to see.
What do they say to feed it?
Oh, feed it, fertilize it like once a week.
Has left the conference.
Once a week to every 10 days with a good fertilizer. Maybe like a liquid fish fertilizer that you could put right in the water would be one that I'd think of that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I would use an organic fertilizer then, and I know they've got some very highly concentrated ones that only take a teaspoon to a plant that you can put in, and I bought those by like the 10-pound bag or something. They last you forever.
Gotcha.
You just have to look around and see what your local store has.
that I probably
okay, we're almost running out of time. Any more questions before we, I have one quick thing I wanted to let you know that I found, black rice at Costco. It's a 4-pound bag for $6.69. The black rice is supposed to be most healthy.
And did you try it yet?
No, I haven't. I have it here to try. I did taste it out there. They had samples, and it tasted a little sweeter than most rice.
Oh.
Yeah, the Asians call that forbidden rice, the regular
yes.
black rice, different than wild rice. I've gotten hooked on wild rice, which I wish I could get the wild for that price, but I can't, other than I did find that some places carry the broken wild rice, and I just got a bag of that from Azur, and I'm going to try that and see if it compares. It's much, much less expensive because it's the broken pieces of it, you know, and people want it to look good, so I'll try that and let you know how that comes out, but it has a different texture. Now, the black rice is more the texture of regular rice, and I didn't know about the nutrient value, but they do make a lot of sticky rice is made out of what they call forbidden rice or black rice. So I have used that one, and it is good.
Had a lot
just
of rice.
Sure.
They're like sticky. All right, go ahead, Marty.
Yes.
No, it's Steve.
Steve.
Char, on that Zello dressing. Recipe. What was after the agave or honey?
After the agave was 3 tablespoons of yogurt.
The yogurt. Okay, that's it. Okay.
So those are all threes, and then 1.5 teaspoons of Dijon.
Uh-huh. Got it. And a quarter
okay.
and a quarter of salt and pepper, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just two real quick things. Dr. Amons is going to be on Dr. Oz today. Also, that 40 years ago today, the first cell phone call was made. For those of us that remember that.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Monty.
What?
Anybody else with anything?
Have a good day, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Have a wonderful one.
Thank you for your
participation.
Thanks.
You're all wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Betty.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.